Stay away. No. What are you? No.
What? You don't know me.
Richard.
Oh, fuck off, will you? Unless you're gonna tell me where the exit is, just fuck off. Well, got nothing to say? No taunting remarks?
There is no running from me. I will have your mind.
Why? Why my mind? Why me?
You do not think of yourself as special. You merely got away.
Oh. Well, I... You're gonna have to keep searching for me, asshole. No!
These are the echoes in your dreams, the weavers of fractured illusions as thus. Justice Margowski, Caesar LeBron III, Stephen Quinn, Leon Thurling, Aaron Azakela Redfire, Liv Smith, S.H. Cooper,
Fusion TSK,
Ava Lee, Della, Mortiella Espinosa, Doug Grosser, and Ben Weeks.
What the fuck? Why? Fine. I'll get out of bed.
Hey, Jay, are you awake?
Jay doesn't drink coffee. What the fuck was that thing? You know who know?
Dick. You're doing it again.
Oh, okay, so he's got a couple playlists on creatures. Let's see, season one, Night Guns, Deep Ones, Biakis, Kenyan, Adlach, Nacha, Moonbeast, Sling Spiders, Dimensional Shambles. Wow! It's a lot to get through. Well, guess we'll start at the top. Alrighty, Alex. Let's see if you have the answer.
Whispers from the Void. This is the start of another long-running series we will have on the channel. I will be diving deep into the beings and creatures that make up the world that these mysterious cults worship. Today, we start with the first of these on an ever-growing list. Night Gaunts first appeared in the works of H.P. Lovecraft and are described as such. Eerie, faceless beings with smooth, black skin, membranous wings, and a penchant for tickling their victims with their vicious talons. However, their origins can be traced back to older myths and legends. In many cultures, there are tales of nocturnal creatures that carry people off into the night, embodying our fears of darkness and the unknown. To delve deeper into this, let's hear from Dr. Connor O'Donnell, our expert in mythology and folklore.
Thank you, Alex. Night Gaunts are fascinating creatures that have permeated various cultural myths throughout history. While Lovecraft popularized them, their essence can be traced to ancient legends. In Babylonian mythology, there were creatures called the Alu, faceless demons that would paralyze and suffocate their victims in their sleep. Similarly, medieval European folklore speaks of dark entities that abduct people at night, leading to tales of mysterious disappearances. These stories are not just confined to the West. In Japan, the Tengu are bird-like creatures that are said to abduct those who wander alone at night.
But how do these myths manifest in different cultures? Dr. Anika Banerjee will shed light on this.
Night Gaunts tap into our primal fears of helplessness and vulnerability. The idea of being taken against our will, of being at the mercy of an unknown force, it's a powerful and terrifying concept. These creatures symbolize the loss of control and the invasion of our most private spaces, our minds and our dreams. For instance, in the Caribbean, there's a folklore about the Sukuyon, a night creature that takes on a fiery form and attacks people in their sleep, draining their life force. These stories, although culturally specific, share a common theme: the fear of the unseen and the uncontrollable.
Their presence in our dreams and their ability to manipulate our subconscious adds another layer to their terror. Let's hear more from Raven Nightshade on this aspect.
Night Gaunts are often seen as messengers or servants of darker power. They navigate the realms of dreams and nightmares, crossing the boundaries between the conscious and the subconscious. In many occult traditions, they are believed to be omens of significant change or warnings of impending danger. Their faceless nature suggests that they represent the unknown and the unknowable, making them all the more frightening. Dreams are a vulnerable space for many, a place where the subconscious mind processes our deepest fears and anxieties. Night Gaunts exploit this vulnerability, making their attacks not just physical, but psychological as well.
In modern times, tales of Night Gaunt encounters continue to surface. These stories often reflect contemporary anxieties and fears. Dr. O'Donnell, can you elaborate on this?
Certainly, Alex. Night Gaunts have found their way into modern culture through literature, films, and even video games. They embody our collective fears of the dark, the unseen, and the uncontrollable. For example, in the popular video game Bloodborne, creatures resembling Night Gaunts appear as otherworldly beings that haunt the player. In literature, authors like Stephen King have incorporated similar entities into their horror stories, tapping into a timeless fear of being hunted by faceless predators. Their presence in popular culture serves as a reminder that some fears are timeless. They adapt to reflect our current societal fears, such as the loss of privacy in the digital age or the existential dread of climate change.
But why do these creatures continue to resonate with us today? Raven Nightshade, your thoughts?
Night Gaunts represent the archetype of the shadow, those parts of ourselves in our world that we fear to confront. They force us to face our inner demons and the darkness within. By exploring these stories, we can better understand our fears and perhaps find ways to overcome them. For instance, the facelessness of the Nightgaunts can be seen as a metaphor for the unknown aspects of our psyche. Carl Jung's concept of the shadow describes these hidden parts of ourselves that we refuse to acknowledge. Confronting the Nightgaunt, then, becomes a journey of self-discovery and personal growth.
The impact of Nightgaunts on our psyche and culture cannot be overstated. These creatures, born from the depths of our
fucking Christ, Dick. It's early. Turn that consciousness. Off.
But what do we really know about their origin?
It's 10 in the morning.
Within the mythos?
Yes, early.
We turn back to Dr. O'Donnell.
Yeah, I guess.
Nightgaunts are not just products of folklore
and
imagination. They have a distinct place in Lovecraft's mythos.
I could eat.
According to Lovecraft, Nightgaunts dwell in the dreamland.
Fuck yes. That was hoping you were going to say that.
Sweet. I'll get dressed in normal clothes and we can go. So, about last...
Number 36?
That's me.
Here you go, sweetie.
Thank you. So, about last... yes?
Need anything else?
No, thank you. So, about last night...
One moment.
Number 40.
Yeah, that's me. And I'll take some hot sauce, please.
There you go. Enjoy.
Thanks.
So, about last night...
Yeah? What about it?
It was... intense.
Not sure that's what I'd call it, but sure.
Well, what do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
The warehouse?
Warehouse?
Yeah, the one across the street from my place.
Oh, right. Yeah, what about it?
What about it? Jay! We broke into it last night. Saw a weird bison werewolf thing with tentacles. Zombies came after us.
Okay, zombies, sure. And I guess we were in a warehouse, I think. But what is this about a werewolf? I don't think the game had anything other than hellhounds. Though, they don't look like werewolves.
Game? I'm talking about the warehouse across the street. Okay, Jay. Exactly what happened last night? Because I'm starting to feel fucking crazy here.
Well, we went to that warehouse last night. You got spooked by some cops driving down the street, so we ended up going back to your place, where I kicked your ass all night long.
What?
I mean, I knew shooters weren't your best, but you could have at least got some practice in. I doubt it would have done you any good.
Enough about the damn game, Jason! Are you serious right now?
Okay, man. Yeah. Why?
You really don't know, do you? You don't remember a thing that happened.
What? The werewolf?
It's not the werewolf. It just looked like... Fuck! Jason, seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Jason, he saw people die. Last night, a weird alien werewolf bison thing killed those workers. They attacked me. Last night, I almost died. You shot someone, and now I'm seeing him in my dreams, and
you
I just...
Watch your mouth.
Jay, I just...
Whatever weird dreams you're having is just that. Dreams. Ugh, fuck this. I'm going home. I got work in a few hours.
Jay, I'm sorry, man. I'm not hungry anymore.
And he's already gone. Wow, that was fast. Shit, that was it. That was the fucking truck. I gotta go. I'm not crazy. You're the crazy one. You don't remember what we did last night. No. I'm not crazy. I didn't dream up some tentacle dream monster intruding my dreams last night. I didn't shoot someone. Though it was to protect me. Yeah, and I mean, if we're being honest here, I'm kind of the crazy one right now. I mean, I'm talking to myself in my car, and I called him the crazy one. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that kind of creeped me out. Stop talking to yourself, Dick. What the? Where did it go? It was right here. Fine. Whatever. I've seen the truck twice now. Okay? Yeah. And whether Jay likes it or not, he's seen it too. And I'll just have to find the proof. I'll just... Dick. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm talking to myself again.
So, how are we doing today?
Huh? Yeah, fine, I guess.
That's good to hear. Busy morning today?
Look, not to be rude, I'm just not looking to talk. Okay?
Understood. Apologies.
Wait, what was that sign? Did you see that sign?
Oh, now you want to talk.
Yeah, well... Hold up, where are we? That sign just said road. Cross-section street, the fuck?
The GPS says this is the road home. I tend not to look at street names.
Okay.
And that was You're Never Going Home by The Outer Beings. Next up, we've got Welcome to the Show by I Know What You Did Last Night.
What?
You're listening to Shadows in the Beats on... Where the music is always alive and watching.
Hey, can we turn off the radio?
Not a Swifty? Yeah, no problem.
What? Never mind.
Gotcha.
I know what you did last night. No, these are all just songs. Maybe if I type band? Okay, maybe I... Hey, driver. Nope. Hello? Yo, can you hear me? No, of course not. It doesn't have any ears. No eyes, no fucking face. Okay. No. Get your shit together, Jason. This isn't happening. This is just a bad dream. Right? I don't like how I can feel your not eyes looking at me. Fuck. Oh, breathe. If it's all just a dream, all I have to do is wake up, and if it's not a dream, then I need to go to the doctor. But there was no such thing as faceless people, and I'm sure those band names were a bit for TikTok. I'm okay. Joe! I thought that radio was off. What the fuck? It's off.
Hey!
Jesus!
Excuse me, can you get back in your seat before I kick your ass out?
Right. Sorry, just don't mace me. There's no way it's already 2. What the hell? It was barely 12 when we left.
Yep, time does fly.
Sorry again.
Yeah. We're here. Now, I better expect a 5-star review, or I'm reporting you.
Yeah, thanks.
We can rate you too, you know.
Join us next time as we continue to explore the dark.
Welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of Whispers from the Void.
Today, we delve into the dark corners of the mythos to uncover the terrifying and enigmatic creatures known as the Biaki. These otherworldly entities are not just figments of imagination, but hold a place in the chilling reality that our show dares to explore. Joining me on this journey are our esteemed experts who will shed light on various aspects of these creatures. Let's begin. The Biaki are often described as nightmarish beings, part bird, part bat, with insect-like features. They are said to serve the Great Old Ones and can traverse the vast expanses of space and time. To understand these creatures better, we turn to Dr. Sarah Jacobs, our scholar of comparative religion, to discuss the groups that believe in or might want to summon the Biaki. Dr. Jacobs, welcome.
Thank you, Alex. The Biaki are often associated with cults devoted to Hastur, the King in Yellow. These cults believe that summoning the Biaki could bring them closer to their god, granting them power and favor. Historically, these groups have been small and secretive, operating on the fringes of society. Their rituals are complex and dangerous, often requiring human sacrifices or rare, esoteric materials. These cults believe that the Biaki can serve as messengers or even transport them across the cosmos.
Can you tell us more about the specific rituals these cults perform?
Certainly. One of the most notorious rituals involves the chant of the yellow sign, a litany that must be recited precisely at midnight under a gibbous moon. Participants often don robes emblazoned with the yellow sign and perform intricate dances to open a portal. The chant itself is said to be so disturbing that it drives listeners to madness, a testament to the power and danger inherent in these practices.
Fascinating and horrifying. Now, to delve into the history and origins of the Biaki, we have Dr. Connor O'Donnell, our expert in mythology and folklore. Dr. O'Donnell, what can you tell us about the origins of these creatures?
Thank you, Alex. Biaki's origins can be traced back to ancient texts such as the Necronomicon and the Nyakotic manuscripts. These creatures are said to come from the star system of Aldebaran, serving as minions to House Tua. They are often summoned through intricate rituals that have been passed down to generations of cultists. The Biaki have been described in various cultures under different names, always associated with death, madness, and the void. Their descriptions vary slightly, but the consistent elements are their horrifying appearance and their connections to the great old ones.
Can you provide some examples of how different cultures have
depicted? Is that it?
These creatures.
Absolutely. In ancient Egyptian mythology,
Uncle
they were known
logistics.
As the servants of Anubis.
Bit on the nose, isn't it? let's see.
Written by witches and warlords during their
non-Egyptian. Houston-based.
These various interpretations all hint at the Biaki's roles as intermediaries between the mortal realm and the cosmos beyond.
It's a relatively obscure shipping company. Honk Logistics has recently made headlines by donating a significant sum to the Houston Museum of Natural Sciences. The donor's contribution has helped fund the Forward to the Moon exhibit. Okay. Featuring rare lunar artifacts and cutting-edge space exploration technologies. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yep, and there's the logo. Okay, cool. So, the museum closes at 5, so that gives me just about an hour and a half to get there and check things out. Sweet.
The ritual often requires rare elements such as dust and the bones of a saint, which are believed to anchor the creature to our reality. The chant itself must be performed flawlessly. Often.
Weird. And usually this empty. Hello? Anyone here? Hello? Anyone? Is anyone here? Anyone? Who's there? Get it together, Faye. Get it together. You're just hearing things. Just keep moving. Just keep. I don't feel good about this. What is that? Oh, what the fuck? Fuck. Just don't touch me.
Well, excuse me.
What? Wait, where did... What? Yeah, fuck that. I'm taking the stairs. gotta walk up 4 flights now. Hello? I didn't hear the door open. Hello? Who the fuck is there? Nobody's there. I've just been spending way too much time with Dick, that's it. He's just got into my head, that's all. Nobody's there. Fuck that noise. Fuck, fuck, open, you bitch! No, no, no. Wait, I'm missing a bullet? No, that's not it. Not the time. I'm ready, you son of a bitch. Ah! What the?
Take whatever you want. Please, don't shoot me.
Oh, fuck. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, there was a misunderstanding. Please, go on.
Thank you.
Well, shit. What was that? Try not to think about it, and it won't bother you. Shit!
Hello.
Fuck no! Come on, come on, come on! Yes! Hungry.
A map.
Forward to the moon, forward to the moon, forward to... Fuck.
Sorry. Damn. It's on the lower level. Just my luck.
We chose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Here I am.
Do you think I could be in there one day?
Of course, sweetheart. You can do whatever you set your mind to. Then to space you'll go, my little astronaut.
What do I even look for? What kind of clue could I find here?
I'll go to the moon and bring you a rock bigger than this one, Mommy.
Okay, Muffin. I'll be waiting. Now come on, we have to go get ready for dinner.
Okay, probably not in the theoretical future missions. Nor the astronaut gear. Uh-huh. What is that?
John F. Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, made a historic pledge to the nation and the world. His ambitious declaration aimed to land a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth before the decade's end. Tragically, President Kennedy did not live to see this dream realized, as he was assassinated in 1963.
Yeah, that's one theory.
Despite this profound loss, the mission continued, galvanized by Kennedy's vision. This unwavering resolve was embodied by the American National Aeronautics and Space Administration, which strive to fulfill the mandate set forth by their fallen leader. Integral to this effort was Ethan V. Morgan, leader of the Society for Human Advancement. The Society for Human Advancement was not merely a benefactor, but a pivotal partner in NASA's lunar endeavors. Their substantial contributions and documentation of the lunar missions were crucial. Without their support, the United States might not have secured its first mover status in the space race. In recognition of their significant contributions, the leaders of the Society for Human Advancement were each presented with a custom-designed spacesuit, akin to those worn by astronauts.
That looks like one of the suits in the front.
Eugene Kranz, the revered second chief flight director at NASA, acknowledged Morgan and his senior team as honorary astronauts. Their collective efforts were instrumental.
Spacesuits through the air is do not touch. Here it is. Property of the Society for Human Advancement. In unity, grasp the potential of tomorrow? Well, no one's around. Oh, that's harder than... Wait, what? No, wait, no, no, Dick. Focus. You can't be excited. Even if you found a hidden passage in a museum. Fuck, this is cool! I'm like Nicolas Cage! Switch somewhere here. Oh, wow, this is... Whose office is this? It's so fancy. Huh. No dust on these books. Or the desk, it looks like. Holy fucking shit, it is! It's a 1920 cinemagraph! No way!
Does the crank still work? What is that? I can't stop it. I can't stop.
How much longer we have to wait? I'm tired already.
Shouldn't be much longer, I'm sure. Vizier, good to see you again.
Hello, sir.
An update.
Right. The shipment we have been waiting for should be arriving within the week.
Excellent. Make sure you notify me once it has arrived. It is imperative that we collect it as soon as it does.
Understood.
That is all from you, Frankie. You are dismissed.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Buckley.
Yes, sir?
When you leave here, I want you to tail him.
Tail him, sir?
Correct.
And do... what exactly?
See who he talks to. Make sure he tells the right fools. And once he is done and alone, I want you to kill him.
Kill him, sir?
That isn't going to be a problem, is it?
Problem?
Because Phil over there deals with my problems.
No, sir. Not a problem at all.
Good. You've proven your continued loyalty to not only me, but the Order as well.
Thank you, sir.
Continue on like this, and you'll make scribe in no time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Now go. You have a job to do.
Thank you, sir.
How did I see that? Were they talking about the container from yesterday? The only thing that I know for sure is that was the uniform of the SHA. Oh, great. Man, it's almost closing time. How much time did I lose? Not important now. Let's see if I can call Jason. Fine. Let's go outside. Awesome. Reception's back. Oh, good. You answered. Was worried you weren't going to. Look, Jay, do you got time to talk?
Yeah, I got some time.
Thank you all for listening. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to this show.
If you'd like to stay up to date with our releases and other news we might be putting out, you can follow us on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky at WFTVpod. This episode is written, directed, and edited by Caesar LeBron III. Sound design done by Caesar LeBron III, with additional help from Aaron Azekela Redfire. The music from this episode was composed by Aaron Azekela Redfire.
You don't know me. You... What? What? Stop. Stop calling me. What? What do you want?
Lord, okay.
Symbolize our loss of our autonomy and privacy in an increasingly interconnected world.
All right. I wanted to do voice acting, and then I kept fucking up and ruining the take by mispronouncing the words. I don't know what I'm doing anyway.
But let's dive deeper into the occult and esoteric traditions surrounding Nightgaunts. Aleister Crowley. I don't know how you say that name.
Excuse... Holding anger, sorry. I was about to go full on anger, sorry. Excuse me? Can you please get back in your seat before I kick your ass out? Why did I put a please in there? Hold on. Excuse me? Can you get back in your seat before I kick your ass out? I forgot that I was doing a low voice. Hold on.
When you leave here, I want you to tell him.